Audacity. Castries resisting calls to ban Russian nationals from applying for St. Lucian citizenship. And other regional developments. I'm Ken Richards with this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup. St. Lucia's Investment Minister Ernest Hilaire is resisting calls to ban Russian nationals from applying for St. Lucian citizenship, while a global chorus of unprecedented economic sanctions in response to Russia's invasion of Ukraine continues to escalate. Dominica and reportedly Antigua are said to have suspended their citizenship investment program when it comes to Russians. St. Lucia's opposition leader Alan Chastney wants Castries to consider putting a temporary ban on new Russian applicants. Here's NBC Prime News on the St. Lucian dilemma.
As a regional collective, both CARICOM and the OECS have denounced the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Internationally, global economic powerhouses have imposed harsh financial sanctions on Vladimir Putin's Russia, which also targets billionaire Russian oligarchs who are now scrambling to protect their assets. Locally, opposition leader Alan Chastney wants to go further and has suggested barring Russian nationals from applying for St. Lucian citizenships via the island's Citizenship by Investment program. Dr. Ernest Hilaire is the minister responsible for St. Lucia's CIP. He says CIP approvals or denials will be guided by the findings of the requisite due diligence reports and not the fallout of a war.
A person should be denied on the basis of the circumstances and the due diligence report. I don't know that you should, for example, ban anybody simply because they will happen to be born in Russia. But if the due diligence shows that they fail, or whether their circumstances are such that they are not desirable in the context of what's happening, then they should not be accepted. But I don't think you should outright blanket somebody and ban somebody simply because they were born in Russia, or in St. Lucia, or in Syria, or in the United States.
The opposition leader says putting a temporary ban on new Russian applicants and limiting Russian access to St. Lucia's banking system will demonstrate the government's support for the West.
And based on due diligence and our work, we then decide if you are worthy of being granted citizenship. However, any bank that has been sanctioned by the United Nations or our partners, the OECD, we have to make it very clear we will not accept any transaction with any bank that has been sanctioned.
St. Lucia CIP is the island's newest foreign direct investment earner, which has grossed more than $97 million in revenue in the last 5 years. Also in that time, St. Lucia CIP processed more than 40 Russian applicants. Rihanna Isidore, NBC Prime.
The University of the West Indies Muna campus has agreed to school some of the students who fled Ukraine in the middle of their studies due to Russia's invasion. However, CVM News quotes campus registrar Dr. Donovan Stanbury as saying that no student has yet applied.
The campus registrar says that the university is making exceptions for the students by opening registration earlier than is customary. He says if they should apply now, they will be considered, although registration opens in August. He says given the nature of the situation, it's the least they can do.
We are not in a position, sympathetic as we are, to do so now. All our subsidized spaces would have been allocated from last year for those people who started the program in August.
In an exclusive interview with CVM Live, one student's mother, Lori Gay Allen, says the offer is not a feasible option and was one of the reasons her son initially pursued studies elsewhere.
The main reason why they did this is because they could not afford UA or UTech. The fees are ridiculous.
She says even with the drawback, she's still looking to have her son placed at another university outside the country, as she feels that's his best and most affordable option.
I don't think any parent Ukraine was their first choice. No. I think they looked into UTech and UA and all the other schools first, but if you have kids that wanted to be vets and dentists and civil engineers and doctors, they want this. They did well in high school, and they're insisting that they're not going to sit in Jamaica and just do the minimum. Then they were brave enough to venture to a whole different country.
Some of the other students tell CVM Live they will continue to seek university options in Japan, China, and other parts of the globe. Veronique Bowen, CVM Live.
Tuesday's observance of International Women's Day presented an opportunity for two seasoned female politicians in Antigua to make the case for more women to break the mold in local politics. The two, Democratic National Alliance leader Joan Masaya and United Progressive Party Senator Sean Nicholas, want to see more women in politics, as Observer Radio's Teresa Goodwin reported.
Senator Nicholas believes that it will take not only women, but men also to work together to encourage females to step into the political arena. She says that this fight is beyond just political parties, and it is important that a negative picture is not created of the expectations of women in politics.
As a woman in politics, it's no easy sport. You're expected to be woman. You're expected to be a politician. You're expected to be wife. You're expected to be girlfriend. You're expected to be mother. You're expected to be all these and more and excel at all. And it's not easy. And our politics has gone to a stage where the expectations are so high. People demand not only your time, but other resources. And as a woman, it becomes very difficult. And whether or not women are up to it, yes, women are up to it. But I think sometimes that the expectations of the population and the demand that they put on our politicians, it has turned a lot of women off.
Masaya said women in politics still face bias and noted that this is the case in all aspects of the life of four females. She did, however, give credit to Prime Minister Gaston Browne, who she said appointed the most women to the upper house in the country's history. Nevertheless, she believes that more women need to be represented in the electoral aspect by implementing a quota system. To date, only four women, Dr. Jackie Quinn, Samantha Marshall, Joanne Masaya, and Maria Bird Brown have been elected and appointed ministers in Antigua and Barbuda.
Women's ability to participate in electoral politics rests with political parties. And political parties, through their constitutions, must ensure that parity is entrenched in that constitution. So whether it is a particular percentage that you put women for persons with disabilities, and, you know, other types of marginalized groups, this is how and when we will see a parliament that is more representative of our society. And it can be done. The DNA has done it. It is entrenched in our constitution.
The quota system has been adopted in other countries like Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana. Guyana's policy stipulates that at least 30% of all parliamentarians must be women. Masaya is calling for a similar policy to be implemented, as well as to help diminish the gender parity. Across the region, only 22% of ministerial portfolios are held by women.
Another life lost in St. Lucia, this time that of a police officer. This report by DBS News World.
A Royal St. Lucia Police Force member is dead with another critical nursing injury following a shooting incident in Water Oaks Road on Saturday evening. Officer Nathan Timet of the Criminal Investigations Department has been identified as the victim. Reports are that Timet and another officer were doing a cash escort in civilian clothing when multiple shooters ambushed them. The victim's family and comrades have received an outpour of love and support during this time. Police Commissioner Milton Dazin says that the killing of Officer Timet has sent a chilling message to the Royal St. Lucia Police Force and the St. Lucian public.
It's just a sad feeling, yeah, for the force and everybody sympathizing, especially with the family of a hardworking officer. But I have a more detailed report to give.
Repeatedly calls for the high command and the executive of the RSLPF to step its game up. Any concerns in regards to that? You guys aren't doing enough?
I know we need to heighten in terms of the security of the state, but we are doing that. But however, what happened there, if at all anybody was not concerned, they need to be concerned now.
Prime Minister Philip J.P. has also maintained a zero-tolerance approach to acts of violence in St. Lucia.
Violence is not acceptable, and we have to do whatever we can do to avoid that the scourge of violence has inflicted our country.
Leader of the opposition, Alan Chasney, calls the killing of Officer Temat a tragedy and one that should not be taken lightly.
And for those persons that were not taking it seriously enough, this is really a reminder that we have to.
We wrap up today's Caribbean News Roundup with accolades for one of Dominica's outstanding musicians. On International Women's Day, her talent was emphasized as well as her contribution to Dominican music. Here's Roy Sanford.
Keep relevant. That's the message of Dominican music educator Pearl Christian to upcoming and aspiring musicians, singers, and choral groups. Affectionately known as Auntie Pearl, Christian has played a significant role in the island's musical scene and was featured in an interview by the Ministry of Culture as Dominica joined the rest of the world in observing International Women's Day on Tuesday, March 8th. You have to keep relevant. You have to keep up with the times, she said in an interview with former Chief Cultural Officer Raymond Lawrence. She is of the opinion that musicians should never stop studying or learning. You don't do it and say, oh, I have arrived, she told Lawrence, because things change, the world changes. She pointed out that every day should be a learning experience and musicians can learn from all sorts of people. Sometimes I work with a little group and I find I learn, even from the little children in the group, she said. So just keep your minds open. She noted that music is a wonderful art form which kept her grounded during the COVID pandemic. Christian's contribution to music in Dominica is beyond question. She was the founding member and manager of the National Chorale for 2 decades and sings with the Dominica Folk Singers as well with a church choir, the St. Alphonsus Folk Choir. She has been the director of the junior choir at Kyrie School of Music in Roseau and the director of the acclaimed sixth form Cicero Singers. Christian has composed and staged several children's musicals and has trained scores of students at the Kyrie School of Music, where for 17 years she was a principal tutor. She has won many awards, most notably the Lime Creole Lifetime Achievement Award and the Golden Drum Award for Excellence in Music Education and Promotion of Choral Music.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Wednesday, March 9th. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.
The OSAR Caribbean News Roundup. Keeping the region informed is also aired on TDN Radio Caribbean, Voice of the Caribbean in St. Kitts and Nevis, Radio Ambamango in Guadeloupe, Dominica Catholic Radio, and online portal Nature Isle News in Dominica.